Welcome to the Avengers Podcast, where we assemble weekly to binge the MCU and all things nerd, old and new. You can follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and YouTube at Avengers Podcast. That is one word, ladies and gentlemen, A-V-I-N-G-E-R-S Podcast. Give us a like, a comment, and let us know what you think of the show. You can also find us at AvengersPodcast.com, where you can find a little bit more about us, and you can find our merch, where we have stickers, mugs, t-shirts, hoodies, and more. Check it out and show your Avengers love today. If you want to support the show, you can find us at patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. That is the reason why this show exists. If you like it, we have a $1, $3, $5, or $10 tier available. Find what tier works best for you at patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. And if you want to give even more support, consider giving a 5-star rating on your podcast platform of choice if you like the show. I promise you it goes a long way with us getting eyes and ears on the show, and we greatly appreciate your support. But I can't do this alone. I'm just one of your hosts. My name's Brandon, and I'm joined by Clinton and Emmy. Emmy, how you doing?
I'm feeling violent.
All right, Clinton.
I'm a bit under the weather.
Oh.
A little pissed off about it.
Yeah, the night of Moon Knight.
I've been excited for this forever and ready to review this. And then the day that it comes out, and the day we're reviewing it, this hit me. Well, it hit me yesterday, but my voice wasn't this bad yesterday. So yeah, here we are. I'll try to make it real sultry for you.
Yeah, sultry and snotty. Yes, guys, by the way, if you're listening to us, spoiler alert ahead for Moon Knight. We are going to spoiler. That doesn't make sense. We're going to spoil this episode one, The Goldfish Problem. We're going to go deep into the scenes. We're going to go kind of scene by scene, review everything, give our overall thoughts. So guys, you've been warned. Don't listen any further. If you haven't watched the show, don't want it spoiled for you, stop right now. Go watch it. Hang out on Disney Plus for about 40 minutes. Come back and listen to us. We'll be right here waiting on you. And Clinton's sultry voice will be there too. Yeah, girl. All right. So, guys, obviously, before we hit the Rotten Tomatoes beat, I definitely want to ask you both, you know, Clinton, I'm going to save you for last because you were looking forward to this, and I want you to kind of take a breath after talking a little bit, sir. So I will start out tonight where Moon Knight, I think this series is jarring. It's a mind fuck. It messes with my head. It almost makes me a little paranoid watching it. It kind of freaks me out. I feel like I'm looking over my shoulder at times. I feel like I don't know what's real and what's not. And having said all that, that's a damn good show. This show is absolutely wonderful so far. And I'm just judging on episode one. I'm intrigued. I'm very, very intrigued to see what continues to happen with Stephen Grant and Mark, and just more about this character, and just to learn more what's happening with him. So I will just say, what a damn good intro to this character. What a damn good episode one. And I'm ready for more Moon Knight. I'm actually already hooked after one episode. Oscar Isaac, holy shit, you're the man. So yeah, that's my real quick thoughts on Moon Knight, episode one so far. So Emmy, what did you think of watching episode one, The Goldfish Problem?
Okay, I'm going to start with my gripe. And my gripe is that they showed us so much in the trailer that was in the first episode and in scenes that they released, that every single time I saw a scene, I was like, oh, this is going to happen here. This is going to happen here. And so I was anticipating what was going to happen. That being said, I was still absolutely hooked. Like, I was still on the edge of my seat the entire time. There was a slight slow bit for me where I kind of was like looked at my phone, but then I was sucked right back in. I'm here for this. It was giving me, I was writing so many notes, sorry guys, that it was giving me the same like WandaVision. I was analyzing everything in the background, and I'm living for it. It was a great first episode. I'm very, very intrigued. Cannot wait till next Wednesday.
Well said, Emmy. Clinton, Moon Knight, you were looking forward to Moon Knight. And I'm only doing that because he said he couldn't, so I'm filling in for him. You were looking forward to this. You were singing the praises of this comic book, this character, for a very, very long time. really saving the best for last here, man. And I know, obviously, you don't have to go into huge lengths. I know you're not feeling that great, but what did you think of episode of Moon Knight, episode one?
I was very, very satisfied. What Emmy griped about, I liked. I liked that most of the trailer footage was in this episode, which means we got that out of the way. And
that's
then
true.
Now we
that
can go
true.
Forward and like get surprised and have. And this episode was kind of a setup for Steven a little bit. But the cinematography in this episode and the way they mess with the audience, it puts you in the shoes of Steven Grant, of how he's feeling a little bit. It makes you feel a little manic, makes you feel a little like you're on edge, kind of like what you said, Brandon. I think they did a good job of getting the audience to feel where Steven's coming from, and it subverts your expectations because you're like, is what he's experiencing real? I mean, there was a part in this where I was like, did that happen or is this in his head?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's probably going to have to grow on me. Not a big fan of Khonshu's voice.
Really?
Oh, I know that's a F. Murray. What's his name?
I had meant to write it down because I thought it was amazing.
I loved it.
It felt very...
give him control, Steven. Give him control. Like, it was, I don't know, it was very ominous. And
I needed it to be creepier. It was too fast-paced, like normal talking. I wanted it to be a little eerier, a little slower, or like mess with it a little bit. I don't know. It felt very Venom or Autobots. Mm. It felt very...
I can actually see the Venom criticism.
Yeah.
Autobots, yeah. Roll out. It felt that way too for me.
Autobots, roll out. I love that voice.
I do too. But for Khonshu and his creepiness, I wanted it to be a little more. And it'll probably grow on me. That's just a small nitpick, though. It's not that big a deal. I do like that he spoke with Steven throughout this.
Mm-hmm.
He's kind of mean to Steven.
Right. Yeah, he is. Which I don't
not
think really
mean. He's mean.
Yeah, he's definitely
I don't think that really could have worked if he was like slow and creepy, like, ooh, the idiot's bad. Like that wouldn't have hit.
I don't mean like that slow, but it just felt like he was like he's skipping like through the prairie with his staff. I don't know. It just felt
like an updated. Bless you.
Oh, you should have said it. Anyway. Yeah, I liked it. I thought it worked. I can see a little bit of the Venom criticism because we're used to that voice being inside Eddie Brock's
head. It was clear.
Hello, Eddie. I still think the voice for Venom is kind of, hello, Eddie. Rah, 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 rah. I don't know. It's not my favorite. I thought Khonshu was very clear, concise, and empowering. Like, maybe not empowering, but it definitely felt like there was a higher being that was, you know, speaking. And I really enjoyed that as well. So I don't know. I thought it was a cool voice.
I said, small critique.
Yeah.
But it'll probably change for me.
Khonshu sounded really smart and Venom sounds not that.
I don't know what you're talking about. Venom's the smartest in the entire Sony MCU verse. So yeah. Really, really, really excited to dive deep. So, guys, Emmy, Rotten Tomatoes, I Am That Bitch, help us out. What is Rotten Tomatoes telling us about this show so far?
Okay, so we had a Discord chat about this last night. So I do have some listener guesses. Do you guys want to give your guesses before that?
I would rather before, so I'm not influenced, because okay. I did not see this in the Discord. I'm going to say 88%. Clinton, that's your cue to.
You still want me to do it? I was in the Discord too. Okay.
Okay. I still wouldn't. I didn't remember. I don't remember what they said last night.
I'm going to say 90%.
Okay. I also got and wrote down Annabelle gave it a 92.
Oh.
She thinks it's up to a 92.
Okay.
And Cosmic Matt gave it a 91. For critics and a 96 for audiences. So the actual critics gave it an 84%.
I'm not happy to win that. I still feel like it deserves more than an 84. But yeah.
I think that's what it got up to last night.
87.
It's 87.
Oh, it went down?
I think it was, it wasn't it 87 yesterday?
I know it went from 79 to something. 87. Yeah, you're right. You're right. You're right. Okay. Yeah. Audiences gave it a 92%.
Okay. Nice. I'm still shocked audiences kind of rated that low, to be honest with you. I would expect it to be higher.
I knew going into this episode there wasn't going to be a lot of action, and I feel like a lot of people didn't want to.
Screw that.
They wanted action. It was very thriller-esque here. Like,
it was horrifying at times, too.
Yeah, it had that eeriness to it.
Yeah.
And they balanced. I saw some critics saying that they don't know how to use the humor here, and I completely disagree. I think it was very well balanced with the humor. Yeah. And
honestly, I didn't laugh that much. I laughed one time, but I don't mean that as a criticism. I mean that more like I didn't need to laugh. Like, I enjoyed the episode for what it was. Like, there was one thing he says, which we'll get to, which made me laugh.
That's the part I laughed
at. Yeah, but like, I just, but at the same time, I wasn't sitting there being like, why is this not more funny? I didn't leave wanting to laugh more. I just left like, oh, this is damn good. This is a damn good show.
Okay. No, that's what the complaints were, what you're saying.
Oh.
That people don't like that they're putting humor in it.
There was one. Okay, well, all right. I don't get it either way, but all
right. They say it's misplaced, and I didn't feel like it was misplaced.
There was one time I laughed, and I did not, and I felt it was earned. So,
yeah.
Okay, that's, sorry.
I think Stephen Grant's character
strongly disagree with these critics. Strongly disagree with these critics. I'm sorry. I'm getting a little defensive for Moon Knight. I can't believe it. But like, I'm like, screw that. No. Anyway, sorry.
All right. So I'm that bitch. IMDb gave it a 9.0 out of 10.
Wow.
Wow.
Who do we rely on?
Our Google.
Google users.
Yes.
97% of them.
Google.
Like this.
You're the real ones. Oh, yeah. You're the real ones, Google.
And this also had a working title, which was Good Faith.
I was going to say Finding Nemo. All right, guys. Well, let's dive deep. I've got quite a few notes as well. So we're going to take chunks of this show out at a time and review it kind of scene by scene. And so we're really, really excited about that. So Moon Knight episode one, we hear this music playing and we hear these lyrics: in the time of my confession, in the hour of my deepest need, when the pool of tears, there's a denying voice inside me reaching out somewhere, toiling in the danger and despair. Don't have the inclination to look back on any of my mistakes. And we see this guy breaking glass, puts it in his shoe, steps in the shoe, and walks forward, cane in hand. What in?
Bob Dylan's playing.
Bobby D is
the
playing.
Song he wrote after he converted to Christianity.
Oh, wow.
The showing the glass in the shoes, him putting his feet in the shoes, made me want to crawl out of my skin.
Yeah.
And also, bitch, that's why you need a cane. You're walking on glass.
And then we hear another song playing. I can remember when we walked together, sharing a love I thought would last forever. Moonlight to show the way so we can follow. And we see Oscar Isaac's character wake up, which we find out is Stephen Grant. I put Oscar Isaac because I didn't know who we were looking at this point, but it ends up being Stephen Grant. And we hear a song, lonely as a man without love. Every day I start out and then I cry my heart out. Lonely as a man without love. Every day I wake up, then I start to break up, knowing it's cloudy above. And we see him pulling painter's tape off the door. And morning, Gus, the one-finned wonder. He talks to a fish and he says, and it sounds like he's talking to his mother on the phone, if I remember that correctly. Talks about feeling like he's been hit by a bus. He rushes to then catch a bus and falls asleep on someone, and then looks over someone else's shoulder, and I love how he's like, cheers. I didn't laugh at this part. I just thought, I smirked. I was like, huh. Like, I liked it. Already this character, it's kind of intriguing. Why do you have to pull the painter's tape off the door? What's happening? What's going on? I think we even saw him remove the shackles, or he had shackles on his feet. Did we see that then? Yeah, so there was a lot here, and then obviously we see him begin his day job at the museum. So we'll kind of pause there.
I'm loving the music.
Mm-hmm.
The music was an absolute hit for me.
Yep.
And the fact that they had it playing at the beginning and then it picked back up whenever he woke up.
Yes.
And we find out that it was like, that was a good touch, because it felt like I went right back in that moment. And that was a moment where I was like, did that really happen? Nice job.
Yes.
The Arthur part at the beginning with the Bob Dylan song, I think, is about kind of following your faith, is why it's showing Arthur. And I think it felt like a ceremony to me, mm-hmm. what he was doing. He took that drink, made the sound with it, like the glass.
Like Miss Congeniality does for her talent.
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
Breaks
and then
the glass.
puts his fingers, his dirty ass fingers in it, and then drinks it. Come on, dude. Ew.
But it was like a, almost like a sacrificial type deal, I think, is why he put the glass in his shoes, like mm-hmm. to show that he's
an idiot.
I don't think you're
well, like,
but I'm above the superficial pain, or the here, like I'm above the pains of this world. You know what yes. I mean? Almost like, yeah, you know, that's how I took it as well.
And I will show you that what I can endure for this God.
Yeah. And what I can endure for this God, and what I can endure in this world, you know, like this plane.
Then we also kind of get a parallel in a different way. When Stephen's around the bed and he steps out in the sand, his foot in the sand.
Yep.
So they really focused on the feet at the very beginning.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Yeah.
And
did
then,
not catch that.
Isn't this the part where it's like, welcome to staying awake?
No, that's
a little bit later.
That's later. Okay. Yeah.
So we see.
You see what shape the sand was in?
Oh, the moon.
Crescent moon.
Yep.
The tape on the door looks really flimsy. I'm getting through all my notes.
Oh, shit. I just thought of this. Sorry. The footprint in the sand, right? And then the glass and sand are made from the same thing. So it's almost like two different perspectives of the same.
Very good point.
Two sides of the same coin, maybe.
Yeah. And glass is like hard.
Mm-hmm.
And sand is like malleable. Not malleable. That's not the right word, but it's like
in some cases softer. Smooth. Yeah.
Huh. He says laters gators to his mom. Mm-hmm. Did y'all catch that?
Yes. He's talking to his mom. I don't think he's talking.
Oh, he's leaving her messages. Come on. He's not talking to anybody.
I don't even know if he's leaving messages. I just feel like he might.
I think this is something that Mark has set up for him to keep him occupied.
Yes. Yes. I think you're exactly right on that.
Mm-hmm.
So at this point, whenever he's outside of the museum, because of our conversation with Matt last week, I really noticed the puddle and the reflection and then his foot goes in it. And so I was like, a big theme of this is going to be reflection because of how Matt talked about how Mark and Stephen are going to talk to each other through the mirror's reflection. We see that and it comes up a lot in this first episode, but that was where I first caught it. And I was like,
Nice.
I'm seriously going through this like it's WandaVision, and I'm going to catch Mephisto any day now.
Well, one thing I did like about this show so far, this episode, is it don't have a lot of Easter eggs. There's nothing calling it back to previous Marvel or anything like that, hardly at all.
I think there's Easter eggs within the show, but not Easter eggs
within
the greater MCU. There's not.
Like, oh,
that's what I mean.
There's the Shield of Cap. Or
exactly.
Like, it's not,
there's nothing within the greater landscape of the MCU, but there is stuff
that it's almost a palate cleanser for me.
Yeah,
it's almost nice to have that.
It's so almost like back when we were in WandaVision.
No, WandaVision had things left and right.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it had all kinds of. I mean, it was built on the events of Infinity War, Endgame, Age of Ultron.
Well, yeah, okay, but it was still. It still felt fresh.
Oh, it felt fresh, but we also went 2 years without new content, so I think we were dying at that point. We were starving for Marvel. 2019, yeah, 2019 was No Way or Far From Home, excuse me. So,
yeah.
So we see him in the museum, and in there he's talking to this little girl. Something wicked. Check it out. It's a big metal hook, and it goes up your nostril and takes all your organs out except for your heart. They believe you need your heart to be judged in the underworld. Only the worthy gets allowed in the field of reeds. I believe I put that right. I was typing that really quick, so I hope I didn't mess too much up.
And I would have said, this is what will happen to you too, you little shithead, if you keep putting gum in these exhibits. The hell are you doing?
Yeah, I agree, Clint. You tell that little shit.
You don't put gum on exhibits. What are you doing?
Yeah, no.
Would you like to come to my school?
Speaking of exhibit, I always wished he would have pimped my ride when I was younger, but he never did. So, exhibit, if you're listening to this podcast right now, I still haven't recovered from you not knocking on my door.
Those, okay, but even when I used to watch those, they were so ridiculous. I remember there was somebody, and this is actually on topic a little bit. There was somebody that was obsessed with like Egypt and Egyptian gods and stuff and pharaohs, and they put
I'm gonna put a whole damn pyramid on your car. And then like
no, he put in a moving vehicle, he put, I'm pretty sure this is maybe I'm mixing memories together. He put a river, he put the Nile down the middle of the back seat, which first makes the middle seat completely unbearable. And second of all, it's water. It's a fucking, in a moving car.
It's a fucking car, bro. Wonderful, wonderful tie-in. And he says, we see his boss, I think her name was Donna.
Donna.
Donna. Like, you're not the bloody tour guide, Stevie. Bloody useless if you aren't doing what you were hired to do. And we still on for 7 o'clock tomorrow. It's 7 tomorrow. Best steak in town. And are you asking me out? You're funny. I'll see you then. A woman talks about, you know, hey, we have a date tomorrow. He seems kind of confused. You can tell he's not of the right mind here. And then Donna goes, I didn't know you'd taken a crack. And he goes, I didn't either. And thought that I didn't laugh at that part, but now that I'm reading the lines over, I'm like, yeah, this is kind of funny. Sorry. Yeah. And seems confused. I think I was just more so entrenched in figuring out this character that now that I'm recapping, I'm laughing at things that were funny, but I don't know if that makes sense. Either way,
Mark made this date, not Steven.
Yeah. Oh, good job, Mark.
Yeah.
Seems confused. Third time this week that he's shuffled in late as well. He's been late. And he starts talking about the supergroup of Egyptian gods. What I'm trying to point out here, they've got 7 gods, but there are 9. And I love how she's like, yeah, because I fired the other 2 because they were late. I thought that was really a well said line. Sorry. It's just so much good stuff here.
I really love, and like I said last week, Oscar Isaac, I used to look at him, he wasn't really my cup of tea. Stephen Grant, on the other hand,
you like really an Egyptian love. Nerd. You like someone that knows their Egypt. They're just a little museum nerd. Yeah,
I like a nerd. Yeah, I like a nerd who is just like a little bit awkward, but like he's also confident enough to like have that dry humor of like, oh, you're selling your brooms outside of my door again. Great, great, thanks. That's great. Like I just
that might be your dream.
I don't think that was cleverness. I think he's very passive and gets ran over all the time,
but there's something
there was something witty about it though too.
Yeah. He's
being a smart ass because he hates it.
Yeah, yeah.
But when it's passive aggressive is what it is. But it's still
wit to say something like that. Oh, you're selling brooms outside? Like, I wouldn't have thought of that. I'd be like, oh, the brooms, great. You have it outside my door. I wouldn't have thought you're selling brooms. I thought that was the kind of...
That wasn't the most witty line, but just...
I'm not saying it was the most witty line. I just thought it was a witty thing to say. Like, you know, like just to be a dick, but say it in a way that you're basically like, you know, I don't know.
Passive aggressive. And on the train, when he's being a bit of a creep and looking over someone's shoulder, and he's like, cheers. Like... It's that awkward, like,
yeah, he is definitely awkward.
Yeah. And when he's talking to Donna, too. And then, I don't know, he just,
are you an awkward nerd? Emmy wants your number.
Would you let him swim up your Nile?
It remains to be seen.
Would you let him king your tut?
I don't even know what that means.
What does swim up your Nile mean?
I think that we can all assume what that means.
I really don't know, honestly.
Okay. Oh, we'll have a lesson later.
Okay. Sounds good. Anyway, so he swims up her Nile and...
Wait. Okay. I'm sorry. Paul Rudd?
Paul Rudd.
Hippo.
Paul Rudd. Ant-Man. Yeah.
The hippo that Donna asks him to move, and he gives her a name, and she's an Egyptian goddess, and she is a hippo. She's the Egyptian goddess of childbirth and fertility. Miss me with that, please.
Okay.
And the other box that he sits up beside it has a alligator or crocodile, whatever it is, in it, and a lion.
Alligators.
Which Amit is all three of those things that were in that shop together. He's a blend of all three of those.
Oh, nice.
She, whatever.
Man, Amy even did the finger point. He says, we see he starts talking, my body wants to get up and wander about. It has to get 10,000 steps. I don't know about it until I wake up wherever, you know? And you know that girl? I'm going on a date with her. I didn't even ask her. I don't know what's going on. If I'm going to have a girlfriend, I can't I can't have ankle restraints on. That's definitely a red flag. Anyway,
is it? Nope, that's a green flag. Go, 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 go.
Emmy, restraints are not... Okay, you know what? We'll talk later. We'll talk later. Okay. Anyway, nice catching up. He's talking to this man, this almost a street performer who's staying very, very still. He's talking to him. He's not moving. And he puts sand at the foot of his bed, painter's tape on the door, locks the door with many chains, and hello, welcome to staying awake. Solving a puzzle is a great way to stay awake. Try a book. It can keep your mind sharp and focused. And we see him reading, I think it's the Aeneid. We're seeing that, you know, and we see him trying to read. We see him with a Rubik's Cube, throwing it up in the air, tossing it back and forth. We see just kind of all this stuff. And all of a sudden, he just wakes up in a field. Jaw is off to the side, pops his jaw, which was the most hard thing to listen to. That still makes me want to just grip my teeth talking about it. And, oh, that was weird. What happened? What happened? And he's trying to come to. So we see he must have fell asleep, because that's now we're in this location.
I thought that the security guard, JB, when you first see him, I thought it was Simon Pegg. I was wrong.
Glad we got to that note.
Okay. We also saw reflections again whenever he's talking to the human statue.
Mm-hmm.
And it flips it on its head, where you think that you're looking at the real picture and the reflection is below it, but it flips and there's a leaf that like blows on it and you realize that you're actually looking at the reflection.
See, I cannot wait to watch the show again, because honestly, visual things I miss quite a bit because I'm so into my notes. And so I always love to watch the TV show after we've reviewed it. And I'm like, especially when you say stuff like that to me, I'm like, I did not see that at all. I can't wait to go back and watch. So did not see that.
Do you know who the statue is?
No, and I didn't have time to Google it.
The statue is Crawley, which is one of his partners in the comics. It's one of the characters from the comics.
Crawley,
Crawley.
Crawley.
It's even in the credits.
Ah.
Ooh. That's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm. A little bit of a nod to him.
Did you guys know... speaking of this whole staying awake part, and this is a fact that I've known for a very long time, and I repeat it every once in a while, so it could be wrong. I hope it's not wrong, because it's kind of a cool thing. Napoleon Bonaparte, the
Bonaparte, I barely know her.
the French guy who tried to, you know, just take over the world, he eventually got exiled. He was like, I will never sleep again. Sleeping is useless. I don't need it. I will never sleep again. And he stayed awake for 72 hours before he fell asleep.
I expected something way longer. So it was just 3 days. That was funny.
No, 3 days and he was like, I'm out.
Yeah. Every time I set a goal, I'm like, I'm doing it this time. Three days later, I'm back in my old damn ways.
Yep. Nope. Fuck that. It was not worth it. So we see that he wakes up in this field and he goes, go back to sleep, worm. You're not supposed to be here. We hear this ominous voice speaking. I completely agree, is what he says. Surrender the body to Mark. Sorry, what? The body? The idiot is in control. He starts getting shot at. This mysterious voice tells him to run, and he heads towards the village. People are parting for this man with the cane that we saw earlier, the one with the broken glass in his shoes. And we are here to make this earth as much like heaven as possible. Would you like to go first? You're a brave man wanting to sacrifice your soul. And this is the face of a good man. Hugs him, and this woman asks for her to be... we see the scale moving on his arm. We see this woman wanting judgment as well. And the scales see everything. I wish you could live to see the world we make. Yet Amit has decided. She collapses. And we see men walking up with guns.
Scales turn red.
Yes. Wait, who? What?
The scale on his arm turns red when she dies, and they turn green for the good man.
Oh, wow.
And there's there's like a pile of something on the scale when it turns. So in the Egyptian, names are terrible, so I'm not going to be able to do any of that. But Amit apparently is the devourer of the dead.
Mm-hmm.
And once they're judged is when they're fed to Amit. And the way they would judge them is if their soul... That's why they mentioned the thing earlier with that little thing that...
That they take out all the intestines except the heart?
Yes, except the heart. They weigh the heart against, I think it's a feather or something like that. And if it's heavier than the feather, they're fed to Ahmet.
Wow.
If it means they had a terrible life or they were going to do terrible things.
That's why.
If it was less than. So the scales on his arm are those judgments before Ahmet takes them. So if they were good, it's green, if you noticed on his arm. If they're bad, it's red. Then later when we do that, it can't balance. It keeps fluctuating and it doesn't change. And that's why it says there's chaos in you.
Yeah. Mm. And I love that. And I also love that it was a judgment, not of just what you've done, but what you will do. Because even the woman says, I've been good. And he's like, well, you know,
it's got better.
Yeah. Yeah. He's like, oh, well, you may be good now, but you're going to do some stupid shit in the future. Like, I don't know. I just thought that was a weird, interesting take. And I also love like this way he says, you know, do you prune the weeds after the garden has completely, you know, no, you take care of it before. Like, I was like, wow, this is kind of very... deep. I like
very
it.
Very evil.
Too. Yeah, evil and deep.
There was a show, and again, I didn't have enough time to do a whole lot of research, but there was a show, and I feel like it had Christian Bale in it, that was on for a while, that was like people were taking out the criminals before they did their crimes. Like, it was like we had gone so far in the future that they could see the future.
I thought it was a movie.
But then there's a movie too, and I'm going to say this name, and if I'm wrong, I'm wrong. I haven't seen it, but I'm pretty sure it's Minority Report with Tom Cruise.
I think you're right.
Good stuff.
Damn, the things wrong. That live in my brain.
Yeah, it's a scary place to be.
It really is.
I wouldn't be volunteering to walk up there then.
No, this God, lady, no.
These man and woman were crazy. Like,
yeah.
I'll stay back and watch you do this.
That's fucked up.
Oh, God, like, yeah.
To judge somebody and sentence them.
They've done anything.
Before they've done anything.
Yeah.
Like that's a whole nother take on like destiny, kind of. Okay. And I know that it doesn't really completely tie into anything MCU, but like the whole, like, is everything predestined like in Loki, or do we write our own story? Like, this kind of seems like Ahmet seems to think that everything's predestined. You're going to do everything that you're going to do no matter what the circumstances.
I almost
are.
Feel like that was a theme of Loki until the very end too. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it's a very similar theme. Like, hey, we know which way you're going to go.
Yeah. Did I not say like Loki?
Oh, I know. I just thought that's what I mean. I guess I was agreeing with you. Like, because.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's where I was going.
Yeah. Well,
I didn't say it.
Well, no, I guess what I mean is like, but at the end it changed. You know what I mean? At the end of Loki, you know, that's where it got flipped on its head a little bit, where we didn't see, like, we got to a point where, okay, this is it. And then Loki flipped everything on its head and said, no, I'm going to keep, I don't know. And I love how everything did seem pre-meditated. Like, hey, we know exactly which. And then at the end, it was like, no, we really don't. And we're completely off the beaten path now. And that's a really cool parallel to draw from. So I don't know. My brain's hurting. This makes my, like, this saga should be called the headache saga, because it makes my head hurt. I miss when we were just collecting rocks and putting them in a gauntlet. Now, like, holy shit, there's so much more thinking involved. I'm a simple folk. I just want a rock and a gauntlet. Thanks. Six of them, please.
You guys also talked last week about how Arthur had a like cult following almost. And you saw that this episode, but it didn't even seem like a cult following. It seemed like it was the whole damn village.
It felt like a worship. It felt like it was like they were worshiping him as a god on earth. Or I guess a messenger through the gods. You know, like, I don't know. Like, I don't know. It didn't feel like a cult. It just felt like maybe that is what a cult is. You know, like worshiping. So, yeah, I'm not even making a good point.
But, like, to have a cult that is so overreaching that it reaches everybody in a city or a town or
yeah, whatever. You don't see that. Usually they go off on a weird island or a compound.
Yeah, like it. Yeah. Or there are some people that are like they all live in a house together.
Yeah, compound. Like,
and there are some people that are like, oh, that's the cult.
Yeah, that's the cult. This is a little screwed up for me. I'm out.
But I guess too, you've seen, like, you saw that lady die. Which, do we think that maybe Arthur got her life force? Like, that's where he's drawing power from, is that everybody that Ahmet eats.
I would hope he'd look better than what he does if he was getting life force out of that.
Well, I don't know. What is life force? Is that supposed to make you younger?
I just think he's not going to, I think he would look a little bit, I don't know. I feel like he's just a vessel. I think he's a vessel to deliver it to.
Okay. Kind of like how Mark is.
Yeah, exactly. That's a, more parallels. Good stuff. All right.
These freaking Egyptian gods are just toying around with us mortals to fight their own battles.
Egyptian gods taking over my body many a time. Men are walking up with guns. I'm sorry. There was a problem with the exchange. We got ambushed. He killed two of our men. I know you, mercenary. And he goes, mercenary. And he starts freaking out, runs. Gift shoppist. I work at a gift shop. My name is Stephen Grant. You will give him nothing. He starts asking for, what was it called? I have it written down. It's just further down. The scarab. He starts asking for the scarab. You will give him nothing. He closes his fist. We can see someone is controlling Stephen at this point. I strongly encourage you to return that. His fingers are froze. Stephen's fingers are froze. I will not ask again. We hear him respond. And I'm trying to give it to him. A struggle commences. Now the idiot's back. Men are down, blood everywhere. Sorry. Oh God, I'm going to go. I see you're angry. I'm sorry. And don't you dare drop the scarab. He drives away in a cupcake vehicle. Wake me up before you go, go. More great music here. This has to be a dream. Yeah. Stephen says to himself, they're going to kill me. Move that, you bloody cupcake van. Move it. He gets flipped off while passing a chicken truck. When he said charming, I busted out laughing here. Like, that was the part when he got...
Okay.
I don't know why. It was just something he's like, charming. Like, in the middle of this huge, chaotic moment. And yeah, some people could say, that's out of place. I thought it was just more his humor and just more him coping. And I also, he's not mentally well. So he's just... I think he just flips on a dime and charming. Don't shoot. He blacks out. Wakes up to a dead dude. This car flipped. The log truck flips over. Scales on the arms of the gunman. Blacks out again. He's driving backwards. I don't know what I'm doing. Then leave us be, parasite. Logs take out the rest of the men. He wakes up screaming, still attached to his bed, and laughs. Holy shit. There's a lot here, and I'm pausing, obviously. But geez, what an amazing, crazy, fun scene here.
Okay, where you stopped and said he laughed, I think he laughed out of relief. He was like, oh, thank God it was a dream.
Oh, yeah, he saw the restraints on his legs, realized he hadn't gone anywhere. And yes, it was definitely like a, oh, God, okay, yeah. And he just just laughed out of relief is the best way to put it. So, yeah.
When he's trying to give the scarab to Arthur, but Khonshu won't let him, it seems a lot funnier, in my opinion, if Arthur thinks that Stephen knows what he's doing. Like, it seems like maybe that's where I got some of he doesn't even know he's doing it. This like dry humor, like passive aggressiveness, but it was attractive to me.
Okay. We might have another daddy on the show.
And seeing, it's kind of the same daddy.
Not really. I don't think Mr. Knight is the same as Stephen.
It's funnier to me watching it from Arthur's perspective, thinking that Arthur thinks that it's just Moon Knight or Mark fucking with him.
Yeah. That's a good point. Now that I recollect the later on in the show where he's like, I thought it was just a front. I thought you were just messing with me. But
you
really are a gift shop. And I love the way they explain like him blacking out, almost his eyes rolling back in his head. And then he kind of comes to, and like there's the remnants of everything. We literally see entire scenes completely cut out, and we see the end result of Mark's work. And it is that struggle. I thought it was such a clever way to show Mark and Stephen struggling for power here. And also kind of what Mark is capable of and what Stephen is not. And what he is capable of. I love the yin and yang here. I thought it was really, really well done.
I think that goes back to like what I said earlier. I like that it makes you feel like you understand how Stephen's feeling. Because he just snaps, and then the music and the score they do with it, everything. I love it. And the way they transition the scenes when it happens. Love it. So we're kind of put in the headspace of Stephen and like not knowing what's going on.
And waking up with Stephen. Yeah, exactly. Great point. Like that complete headspace of him. Cause we are like, wait, what? Yeah.
The whole episode, we are in Stephen's head. And the whole episode, we, the viewer, are Steven.
Until the very, right? very end.
Until the very, very end.
Yes.
But I predict, my prediction is that the next episode will be all from Mark's perspective.
I agree.
And we will see everything that led up to that scene. And I think we might actually see that scene as Mark.
So you think a whole recollection of the events as Mark?
Mm-hmm. Okay. At least for like the first half of the second episode. And then I think they'll move a little bit past that, because that would get a little bit tiring if it
definitely,
then it's like,
definitely when it starts out in the field.
Same thing.
Yeah. Definitely when it starts out in the field. I think that's when we are introduced to him, you know? And yeah, I would agree with that.
We need to know.
That's a good point. Cause in the trailer, there is that scene with him falling, but
yes,
they didn't do that. But was that just trailer edit? Like, was that just trailer editing, or do you
think way that they, the way they edited the trailer, it made it look like the guy falling out of the truck was Steven. So
same person. They'll be wearing the same thing. It's just more they're.
No. I know that, but the guy that fell out of the truck was the dead henchman, the background goon.
Yeah, but in the trailer, you know what I'm talking about when he.
Yes, and you see
he's falling back.
Yeah. But like those two scenes kind of ran together. So it looked like Oscar Isaac was falling out of the back of the truck off a cliff.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
I can't wait to see this next episode. I think you're right.
But yeah, I do. I think we're going to get that like prequel, what led up to him meeting Khonshu, which I'm assuming has something to do with stealing that damn beetle.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we're going to get some of those scenes that Steven is missing that Mark can fill in.
Oh yeah.
And then I think that
you said figure out why he met up with Khonshu, because he stole the beetle.
I think it's going to have something to do with him stealing the beetle and then dying.
Oh, okay. I was like, Khonshu and Mark are working together. I don't think he stole something from Khonshu.
No. Oh, well then maybe, okay.
Because he keeps trying to get Mark to come back to the forefront to help.
To help protect the beetle.
Yeah, to keep it.
But so then maybe Mark stole the scarab in the first place. Maybe. And then
Or maybe he's trying to keep it away from Arthur.
That's what I was just going to say.
Arthur's probably after it.
Maybe he was assigned to protect it is what I'm thinking.
Okay. Well, anyway. But I do think that episode two is all going to be in Mark's perspective, or the majority of it, at least. We saw some blood.
Yeah.
We saw some violence.
A lot of blood in the hand.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That surprised me.
There was a line that I didn't write down word for word because I was sucked in at this point. But Khonshu says, if you don't let him... If he doesn't lose the scarab, I'll give it to you both. I think was the line.
Something like that. Yes. I don't have it written down, but yes.
It was almost like Khonshu and Mark were fighting. And that's why Mark was being stubborn to come out, or like be more aggressive to let.
Well, I think the when it sees him like slip in and out.
Yeah.
Like that scene where the chase on the highway, when he comes back to, there's like a gunshot and he's going backwards. I feel like sounds or instances are bringing Steven back into the forefront.
Okay.
Something that's like kind of jarring him.
And
Mark's holding it together for a while, but something jars Steven back to the forefront.
I would like to say and apologize that I probably sound like an idiot, but like I said earlier, I'm coming at this with
Mephisto vibes,
ferocity of, WandaVision. So I'm probably reading way too much into a whole lot of stuff. And I was so excited to start speculating today. I was so excited.
Yeah, it's fun. It's part of the fun of it.
Oh, I agree. Yeah. I agree. So
if I'm wrong and I sound like an idiot.
No, there's nothing wrong with that. Hey, so he wakes up and he says, he removes the tape off the door and he says, how we doing, Gus? Sleep all right? I wonder what fish dream about. And he said, I think he said, what the fish? And then,
yes, he did.
Yeah. And yesterday that fish had one fin. It has two fins. Is that normal? He's talking to a woman who owns an aquarium store. And starts seeing that the time
takes it in a blender, which is what we saw. It is a blender.
It is a blender. And there's a blade at the bottom.
Yeah.
Oh, I was adamant last night on the Discord chat that there was no blade, because that upsets me. That just thinking about that upsets me so much.
It's horrible. Yeah. And so he sees the time. It's around 5 o'clock and he says, we've got a date. Is that time right? And he gets stressed and he calls his date and she talks about how she ate a steak all by herself 2 days ago. I thought we said Friday. And she goes, yeah, welcome to Sunday. Lose my number. Asks the waiter what day it is. He does confirm it's Sunday. And he talks about he asks what cut of the steak he wants and talks about what temperature he'd like it cooked at. And this whole time, he's not even making sense when it's like, you know, rare, medium, well.
He's literally like, a vegan. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. Because the
Steven's a vegan. Mark is not.
Yes, but Steven's the one that.
This is Steven.
Yeah, this is Steven.
But he's just not even like, you can tell.
But it's showing him like he don't care.
He's
anymore.
Just completely lost. Yeah. And, you know, and he seems distraught is what I put in my notes. And then he goes back to his place, eats chocolates, removes the rugs, and sees that there's scratches on the floor. And he moves the table back in that location and he sees a board loose. And what's this about? And he sees a car key and an old Motorola razor is what I put. I don't know if it was a Motorola razor. I'm going to think.
Okay. Can we pause right here? There's a lot we went over.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's a lot to cover here.
Yep.
So the fish thing, the fish, obviously from our perspective, we know it has changed because we saw the one fin fish. Yes. This is where I was talking about. This episode really makes you like, feel like you're Steven a little bit. Like you're like, what is real here? And what is he imagining?
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But when he takes the fish to the place, she's like, basically says he was there yesterday and he says he wasn't. So he has no recollection of that. So either he don't remember or it was Mark. I'm assuming most of us think it was Mark.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's me.
And then the date scene was really, really sad. And Oscar Isaac's performance here was phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like when it zooms in to his face and the waiter's talking to him, like there's a lot of, he really sold to me that he just kind of had given up. Like, I'm losing it. I'm having a hard time. I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. Like, nothing makes sense to me. And nothing matters anymore. Like, and then that whole, like when it zooms in and then walking to his apartment and he's just sitting there by himself with the chocolates, it's just heartbreaking. Mm-hmm. Like to watch that happen.
Well, and he's creating like this great date whenever he's leaving a message or whatever for his mom. He's like, yeah, I think she really liked me. And like, it's that even adds like another layer of sadness that he's putting on this front. Like, I'm okay, when he's really struggling. Mm-hmm. And
Oscar Isaac really sells it.
He does.
Yeah.
He does so good with it.
I honestly think Oscar Isaac's performance is, I've not seen him in a whole lot. I'm not pretending I have, but this is absolutely some of his best work that I've seen. Like how much in just at one episode he is able to establish is unreal. And I don't think it could work with a lesser actor. And I mean, that is a huge compliment to Oscar Isaac. I think he did a wonderful, wonderful job. And I'm looking forward to 5 more episodes and hopefully a lot more of this character moving forward.
Yeah, I completely agreed. This is where I was like, he's never catching his mom on the phone. She also sends him postcards. Where do they sell postcards?
They're in the museum.
In the museum gift shop.
Ah, good.
That's why I think Mark is the one orchestrating this to keep him occupied.
Yes, completely, 100%. And honestly, probably to keep tabs on him. Yeah. I bet Mark has that other phone.
Mark's the same person.
I know, but like, Mark knows where the other phone is hidden.
Oh, yeah.
And so he listens to the voicemails when Mark's in control. I understand it is one person with multiple personality. I appreciate you.
I know, but you're like, I think Mark has that phone and then Steven has that phone.
It's not out of the realm of possibility, I wouldn't say.
Yeah, but once
they're not sharing information.
Sense. Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
That made sense the more I thought through it. The key, though, and this may be stretching, and maybe I missed something here. to me, and no one else has talked about it, I thought, was that, did y'all think the key was from where he did that whole thing, like the car chase? Because to me, I thought the key was a hint at Jake Lockley as a taxi driver. And the keychain itself had like a J on it. But that could be me stretching completely, because for me, it was like the phone is Mark's and the key is Jake's.
Yeah.
Okay.
I didn't know where the key came from. I didn't think he would have a key from what we saw. You know what I mean?
Well, you called it a car key. That's not even where I went with it.
Oh, I thought it was a car key.
I thought it was a locker key. And in my head, it was the locker key where the scarab is being held. Like, he stashed the scarab.
I mean, it could be, but it had that big gaudy keychain on it.
Yeah, so you don't lose the locker key.
And it like the pattern on it made like a J. But that could be completely stretching. But Jake Lockley is known as a taxi cab driver.
Right.
I don't know. I could be stretching on that, but in my brain, it made sense.
I think it does, but I don't know.
When he's getting ready for his date, mm-hmm. and he says, "I look like a knob," I think that's one of my favorite British insults. That and, oh, you're such a bell end. Those are fantastic, and I wish that we used them more often.
I've heard of knob, but what is bell end?
Bell end, that's a cock, your dick.
Ah,
nice. Bell end. Ah. Yeah. Just like a knob. Oh. A knob and a bell end are the same.
Oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. I've heard knob.
In that scene, though, he's in a trifold mirror. Mm-hmm. And so you see three reflections of him.
Which to me is Jake, Steven, and Mark.
Oh, hi.
And then, yeah.
Oh, so when Steven, does he like ever go, "Oh, hi, Mark"? Does he ever do that?
I've not seen that movie, so.
Oh, God.
Either of the movies.
I will pass out of happiness if we watch The Room and review it, because it is one of the greatest things I've ever seen in my entire life.
Is that the first one, or is that the one that has the pedophile in it?
No, Disaster Artist is
Disaster Artist. Okay.
So no, the Room is the one that is the screwed up, terrible, horrible, funny movie.
Tommy Wiseau.
Wiseau. Yeah. Thank
you. Whatever.
Yeah, I don't know if anyone knows
how to pronounce it. Sorry.
Go on.
Oh, you were sorry. I thought you were mid sentence. I thought I was interrupting you. I'm sorry. I was really sad at the date scene because I wanted Dummy to find love. That was really upsetting for me.
Did you just call him a dummy?
I'm pretty sure that Khonshu calls him a dummy first. No, he calls him an idiot.
He does. And Dummy was in the very first Iron Man movie. He is not in this.
Oh, okay. So I wanted idiot to find love.
Ah, there you go.
It's okay. Still mean. It's okay.
Still mean.
Steven Grant, I'm still out here.
Bad for the guy. I feel sad for him.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah. 100%.
Amy's over here insulting him, and I feel bad for the guy.
Amy's still hitting on him too, so she's
so that justifies it.
I also said that he was very knowledgeable. I said he was smart, nerdy, and awkward, and I like him. All right,
so we see missed calls from Layla. Duchamp?
No, don't take this from me.
All right, Amy. Even though you didn't read the comic, you know somehow.
Duchamp. Duchamp.
Okay, well, let me say it in a way that he might have said it. Duchamp.
Yeah.
Which means that he is French, a.k.a. Frenchy from the comics.
What's his name?
Ah, got her. She's Googling it. Say it.
No, I'm not. Jean-Paul Duchamp.
Jean-Paul Duchamp.
Oh, wow. Good job, Amy.
I have to give credit where credit is due. I did notice that. Mm. And I was like, I wonder if that's the Frenchie that we talked about last week when Matt was on the show.
Good stuff.
And Matt texted today and he was like, "I've got a really good Easter egg that you can blow Brandon and Clinton's minds with." I don't even want credit. I just want you to blow their minds. And I was like, I actually kind of figured that out on my own. Nice. But you just confirmed
that. Thing that blew our minds.
Oh,
okay. Well, that was rude.
The thing I already knew about.
That's rude.
That was rude towards Matt. That so is rude not towards me.
Our friend.
Anyway, I'll let him know.
So missed call. Yeah, because he never listens to our show. Missed calls we see from Layla. We see you're alive. I've been texting and calling you for months. I thought something happened to you. What is with this accent? What is happening right now? What's wrong with you, Mark? And he says, what did you just call me? Who is this? Why did you call me Mark? And we see the voice. A voice is saying, Steven, you need to stop. He shakes his head no in the reflection, turns the light on. The lights begin to flicker. Steven, stop looking. And Steven says, what's happening? And he runs out, gets in this elevator, tries to close the door as we see Conchu walking towards him. And he turns and all of a sudden we see this older woman. I lost my contact lens. Are we back on the fifth floor? And she is frantically trying to get in the room. What is going on? He says, and he's confronted by Conchu and screams, and he's on a bus, passes Conchu, and I'd assume, and then we see him back at the museum. So anyway, this frightening elevator scene, and we also hear, I'm assuming, Mark trying to get Steven to relinquish control, and Steven is just frantically running, and I don't blame him. I would be too. So yeah, it just a complete mind fuck. And then he's on a bus and he's back at the museum and we see him confronted again.
Conchu is,
bless you,
terrifying.
Yes, he is. When he walks like
that.
Oh, big
waddle steps. Yeah.
It's very, and especially the way they used him in like frames, and then all of a sudden he was gone, and then he was there, and then he was just kind of creepily. I agree. Terrifying. He is, I don't know. Like, it's very, very unsettling seeing him.
The detail on him is
the detail, phenomenal. Yes.
He looks wonderful.
The hairs, everything.
The jump scare. Did the jump scare get y'all?
No,
that was in the. That was in one of the things
I honestly was taking so many notes. That's probably why it didn't get me.
Got me so bad I scared my cats.
Oh, wow.
I'm surprised. I did a little like,
yeah.
You watched it already, didn't you?
Yeah, I've seen it. That doesn't mean it's not scary.
You know. Also, when he's going from is he on the fifth floor already?
Yes.
Goes down to the second.
No, he goes down to the third.
Third, yeah.
Then the second.
And he's pressing down the entire time, and then he's back on the fifth.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this goes back to like just messing with.
Someone hit the five, and he ended up. Oh, it's just so awesome. I love it.
Also, if the power's flickering and stuff shaking, I am not getting in the elevator.
Nope.
I'll take the stairs.
Yep. Agreed. Especially down.
So
stairs are so easy down.
So one of the fun fact where I work is one of the very first original elevators ever in that town and it's still operational and I get on it and it just cracks and there's always maintenance people working it. There's been people stuck in it at my work plenty of times. And every single time I get on there, it's like, all right, this is going to be it. I mean, I'm always just holding my breath. There's cracks. It's just weird and eerie. And sometimes like you're like, it should have stopped a while ago. Why? What's happening? You know, like,
yeah.
And sometimes it doesn't even feel like it's moving. So you don't know if you're in between floors. It's creepy. And I don't know. Anyway, I've never been scared of elevators. This elevator freaks me out. And I was on it today, actually. I've had a couple of weird parallels with the chicken. I was behind a chicken truck today and I was on that elevator today. And I'm not on that elevator every day for work. So I'm kind of losing my mind a little bit.
Are you sure?
Yeah. Are you sure?
This is kind of weird, honestly. There's been a couple of weird parallels. So,
the elevator at my school is. And my school was born.
Yep. Born and raised.
My school was birthed. Because it was the savior that my mom was born, is why that was in my brain. And now I don't want to say the year, but it was in the 50s. It was close to 60. My mom was born in 1959, and that's also when my school went up. Anyway, Pam. Our elevator.
Hi, Pam. I hope you're doing okay.
So janky that when you go up, it like.
It's stuck.
When it gets up, then it's stuck. Then it's up, then it's stuck. Yeah.
When you go up every once in a while, it will like do like this little terrifying, like, I'm going to drop you. I'm going to drop you.
Yeah.
It's like a jolt. Yeah. It's awful. every once in a while. You don't know when it's coming because I usually try to prepare myself, but it's every time that I don't think it's happening. And then if you go down in the elevator, the doors don't open for like, I don't know, 2.5-3 minutes. And so you're just like in the elevator.
That's how I feel. I feel like, okay, the door should have opened by now. I'm not moving. Uh-huh. What's happening? Am I between floors right now or am I? Yes, Emmy, I agree. Same thing.
It's my school. It's a 2-story building. It doesn't take long.
Same. It's literally, I always make the joke. It's the worst joke in the entire world. It's dad jokes for elevators. Like I literally like, what floor? Because there's literally kidding on the elevator and there's 2 floors. So I always do it every single time. And every single time I'm like, the second floor. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm heading there that well as well. Yeah, I'm heading that way as well. It's such a, I hate myself for it, but I do it every time. And I just, I don't know. Anyway, next time you're on a 2-floor elevator, make that joke and see how many eye rolls and hard sighs you get.
My gosh.
Anyway.
I need to tell you guys how hard I'm stretching on this.
Oh, okay.
Whenever he's looking around and he's like, another great British phrase, oh, someone's having a laugh. And he's like going around trying to figure out who's in his flat.
Uh-huh.
That's not how you say it in English or British.
Flat.
He's trying to figure out who's there. And I'm not sure if it's the music or some, there's a sound effect that starts that is a clock chiming. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I'm going to count these chimes. I bet it stops at midnight at 12 because we know that Midnight Man is in this show. And there were, well, way more than 12 chimes of the clock. So I was just way off. Mm. And that's how hard I'm reaching for this show.
Keep reaching. Just keep reaching.
Thank you. Thank you. You both seem absolutely enthralled by that.
Yes.
Shoot for the moon, because even if you miss, you'll land among the stars.
Mephisto.
That was gorgeous, Clinton. We should put that on an inspirational poster. I've never heard that before.
Shoot for the moon, which is fitting.
Oh, we got it. We got it. You didn't have to repeat it. We know what we're reviewing.
I didn't get it the first
Jesus,
time.
Jesus, Emmy, come on. So we see, I'd assume Stephen Grant was an alias. I thought you were, I thought you have your bloody beetle is what I wrote. I don't think that's right notes. It doesn't belong to me, Stephen says. It belongs to her. She grew weary for sinners to, this is actually, what's his name? Sorry, I can't remember.
Arthur.
Conchu. That's it. Sorry. Not Conchu. Arthur. It doesn't belong to me. It belongs to her. She grew weary for sinners to commit their sin. She knows what we've done, knows what we'll do. If she would have been free, she would have prevented Hitler genocide. He says a few more things. And she was betrayed by her own avatar. And he goes, no, I love the movie. It's a great movie. He's like, and he goes, Stephen, stop it. And Stephen asks, are you going to kill me? It's maddening.
Oh, no. He, for a second, he's like, no, you're talking about the anime, aren't you?
Oh, yes. He did say that too. Yes. And he goes, Stephen, stop it. Are you going to kill me? It's maddening, isn't it? The voice in your head. It's relentless, forever unsatisfied, no matter how hard you try to please it. It devours you until there's nothing left except a hollow shell. And the more you ask for help, the more you begin to sound like the boy who cried wolf. I'm trying to help you. Do you want to know the truth? And we see the scales on his arm. And, we see that they say, let him go. And the lights start going out at the museum and he runs and he says, hello, Donna, JB, and talks about JB. Hey, there's someone following me. Or no. That's actually before that. Sorry. He tells about Arthur, and then Arthur just pops up and does anything. And so we hear a dog. And he says, here, boy, hello. Where are you at? You little bugger. Before we get to that, obviously Arthur, and we see Arthur and Stephen have this moment with one another. Obviously, Arthur wants something from Stephen. Stephen's unwilling to give it. And what we were talking about earlier, the killing of people, the sacrificing of people before they've even committed the sin. It's kind of revealed here through Arthur's dialogue. There's a lot to unpack here, but really, what an evil little shit.
I don't think he can judge Stephen because of the multiple personalities that are in there with him. So it the scales don't really know what to do.
Yeah.
Because Steven's like an upstanding guy, and then Mark's done some shit.
Yeah.
And there's also, he's the vessel for an Egyptian god.
Yeah, exactly.
So who would be, I feel like on the same level as Amit.
Probably above a mint, honestly.
Yeah. Well, I don't know anything.
What I also love about this too is that balancing is because a lot of us are a mixture of good things we've done and bad things we've done, and kind of like, it's not just you're completely terrible or you're a good man. You know, a lot of us are just that, I don't know, the reflection of that. We all have two sides to us, or maybe three. Mm-hmm. It's kind of not unheard of to have kind of a you know, I don't know. I don't think it's too far fetched to say someone's balanced. You know, you're not just all one way or the other. I think that's more rare, to be honest.
To be all one or the other. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't think that Arthur asked for consent from Steven before judging him. And I feel like that's a little bit rude.
Well, if you're a bad guy, I don't think he gives two shits about consent.
Okay, well, then that's even ruder.
Well, might be a bad guy. You might be a bad guy.
Might be a bad guy. I just broke your headphones. And I apologize.
Everyone is in his pocket too. Everyone's Steven in the museum.
Yep.
Arthur's already.
Which does really seem like he's mind controlling them, because he puts them in. Like, it was, I can't foresee him being, as a teacher.
Oh, goodness.
Oh, boy.
As a teacher, I feel like you can't give directions like, hey, you stand at this door, you stand at this door, you stand at this door, because it's like, wait, what am I supposed to do? And, like, to get there that quickly and efficiently,
yeah, but I feel they have to be mind-controlled. They are adults in this. You teach middle school children, so I feel like that's a little bit different.
Okay. I see it in myself if somebody's giving out tasks.
Oh, no.
I'd be like, wait, what am I supposed to do?
Welcome to hosting this podcast. You know, that's really how it is. So we see, obviously, the creature shadow appears and terrifies Stephen when he's looking for this dog. He hears this dog crying, or what we assume is the dog. Stephen Grant of the gift shop, give me the scarab and you won't be torn apart. The monster is crawling everywhere, just thrashing about, basically. Stephen, I can save us, but I can't have you fighting this time. You need to give me control. You understand? Look at me. This is real. I'm real. Yes, you have to give me control. It's the only way. Look at me. You're not going to die. Let me save us. And this is his reflection talking to him. I thought it was really, really a good piece. He looks up. We see his eyes go back in his head, Stevens, and we see Moon Knight beating up this monster to death. And he walks towards the screen. Credits. Holy shit. Holy shit. And I honestly, a part of me, little nitpicky here too. I hate that this was revealed in the trailer. Like, this would have been 10 times better had I not, because this is a GIF I regularly post too on our, on our social media feeds. And so the fact that I just wish I had zero recollection, you know, I mean, I think it would have just been wonderful. So, but having said that, because that's a nitpick as well, still thought, in my notes, I wrote, holy shit. So it still lands. It's still great. I think it would have landed harder, but damn, what a great, cool scene. What a fucking great scene.
I agree with you. Had the reveal not been revealed in the trailer, that would have been, it would have hit better.
I agree.
But at the very least, and I'll play Mephisto's advocate here, at least they didn't show his first suit up.
Yeah. Okay. I'm with you.
So, like, you didn't see him transition into, you just saw him walking into the screen. And I'm okay with that. And like Clinton said, they showed a lot of stuff in the trailer from this first episode. And I am glad, because that was a tiny little gripe that I just kind of like knew what was going to happen in each location. But at least it's all, for the most part,
it feels like a lot of it was already done this episode. I'm sure we'll see more a little bit here and there, but I feel like that's what's great, like Marvel Studios with No Way Home. I feel like we saw a lot of the first act with No Way Home, and then the second and third we saw nothing really. You know what I mean? They had to give away a couple things, but the still, like, the surprises were still left in store. And so I think that's what's going to kind of be a similar thing here with the trailer breakdown and how the show is going to unfold. So
I think I completely agree. Whenever I heard the dog, and I am very much an animal person, but I was like, Stephen, get out of there. That is a jackal. I know that.
Yep.
Get out of here. But I thought about this, like, how would I have reacted in this situation? I am absolutely an animal person.
You would have done the
same
thing.
Will a dog? Would I?
You would have.
In a dark museum after closing time, okay, with a whole bunch of dead pharaohs?
Yeah, a bunch of dead pharaohs, but also a dog that might be in trouble. I think you might have done the bigger
thing. A dog will survive.
I thought you were better than that, Amy. I take back my comment.
I'm sure he could probably find a dinosaur bone to chew on. He would be happy.
Oh, okay. Maybe a stegosaurus femur.
If... Never. No, if I had a buddy to go back, I would have to like find a buddy to go with me. Mm-hmm. I feel stronger in numbers.
Ah.
You do see a visual, and I wouldn't have picked up on this had it not been so prominent. Mm-hmm. But you do see a visual of there's like a bust with half of the head is kind of like split off. Mm-hmm. And you see Steven kind of behind it. And he's kind of finishing the bust.
Yeah.
And it just made me think of like the head to split, like his split personality.
Oh, nice. I did not catch that as well. See, a lot of the visuals, I can't wait to go back and watch. I like that.
And it did. It seemed like, I don't think that's a reach. It seemed very prominent.
No, I'm sure you're right.
In my opinion.
I'm sure you're right.
Did you guys see though, in the bathroom, whenever he starts turning into Moon Knight, there's glowing hieroglyphs.
Yeah.
I did not catch this.
Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
That's
when it's flickering.
That is sick.
Yeah, they're like flickering whenever he's...
I did catch some of it. Yes, now, never mind. Sorry. There was one part. It was on the walls and stuff like that, you said?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did catch one quick scene.
For a second, I was like, wait a minute. Is that glow-in-the-dark wallpaper?
Oh, I thought you were going to say something worse.
I think cinematically, this scene was really cool. The whole bathroom scene.
I thought you were going to say it looked like a Jackson Pollock painting.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. You said that more diplomatically than I could have.
Thanks, Guardians. Oh, man. Well, damn. What a...
No, visually, Clinton was...
Oh, I'm sorry. Point.
The bathroom scene.
Well, just... I think I heard you guys talking about the... This would have been better had it not been revealed in the trailer. And I agree. But I do like the three mirrors. Well, you got the long mirrors on each side and then the one in the back. Mm-hmm. And I loved how they visually shot this. It was almost like a one take where they just keep sliding back and forth. There wasn't really any cuts here. It was like a slide to the right, slide to the left. And
now crisscross.
Take it back now, y'all.
Now everybody clap your hands.
But the way they did this visually for me was really cool, seeing Mark in the mirror and him trying to get control, but
I'm and talking to the jackal. Mark in the mirror. Sorry.
Oh,
yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
I would have tried that if I could. The jackal, like chasing him, and then the jackal's trying to get away. That part was pretty epic, too.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like immediately where it goes.
You started this shit, bitch. I'm going to finish it.
That's such a great point, Clinton. It goes from this jackal is like basically the hunter, and you know, and then immediately becomes the prey, and we see it just trying to just escape. That just more to the badass of Moon Knight and Mark. Love it. Absolutely love it.
Yeah, I completely agreed. Do you guys know the difference between hieroglyphs and hieroglyphics?
Not at all. I thought they were the exact same thing. So no.
All right. People argue about this. What I found on the internet, kind of split. Mm-hmm. In modern day language, either everybody uses them the same and that's fine, who cares. Some people think that hieroglyphs are the actual noun. Mm-hmm. And hieroglyphic is like the adjective, like, oh, that looks hieroglyphic. Or, and what I think sounds the most right in my mind, that the singular is like, you've got, oh look, here are some hieroglyphs, and that's like the singular, or the,
okay, that makes
a bunch of singular, and then a whole text would be
the glyphic
hieroglyphics.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense. Actually makes sense.
I think it makes sense too, but honestly, like, there's not, like, there are people that call people idiots on all the sides. Well, and everybody thinks they're right, so I won't call you guys dummies if you guys say hieroglyphs or hieroglyphics.
Call Mark a dummy.
Yeah, dummy thick.
Oh, he thick though. All right, guys.
100% on God. No cap.
Do you think that? I have a question. Sorry.
No.
Do Do you think that, so we've gotten to see Steven this whole episode kind of uncovering himself and figuring out what's going on.
Yeah.
Do you think he'll be granted the Mr. Knot persona and then Mark will have Moon Knot?
Yes, I do.
Where Mr. Knot is more of the detective type guy.
Yes. I do. I especially when Moon Knight and Mark basically were parallel and the same person. I feel like obviously we know we're going to see Mr. Knight. That's the picture you see when you're actually scrolling through it. It makes the most sense for Steven to be that. Yeah, I don't know, but I'm confident.
I
had to sneeze. Sorry.
Oh.
I was trying to get my point before I sneezed, but don't worry. I muted myself so you didn't have to hear it.
Okay.
But I had to tell everyone because I'm a dumbass.
I would agree with you, but the way that you guys talked about it last week made it seem like those are four different personalities. Like Moon Knight is a personality who can take over Mark.
Yes, with Khonshu. Yeah, I mean, he takes on, but it'd still be a separate person. Yeah, it would still be Mr. Knight, but it would be, he attaches to Steven.
He would have to. Okay.
Moon attaches to Mark.
Okay.
That makes the most sense.
Because we did see in this episode that Moon Knight attaches to Mark only. He won't come
out. Yeah, he won't. Steven. Yeah. Yeah. Which is rude. So, I mean.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Do we have?
I was trying to make a sexual joke. I couldn't get there in time. It's.
That's what she said.
There it is. There's the sexual.
Gosh, got him. All right, Emmy. Post or credits names. Do we have any credits names to get to?
All right, I got two.
Okay.
I'm gonna do these in the order that I think is worst to best. Okay. So hopefully it's best to worst.
Well, okay. The fact that there's two, I mean, it's not a huge ranking. It's just the one that's better than the other, you could have said.
Okay. All right.
Best to worst in order of one and two. Sorry.
Okay. I'm really trying here, guys.
Marvel has good actors because good actors are in Marvel.
Oh my God. I still think that's true.
So profound.
I still don't think that you guys completely understand.
We got it, Emmy. Not. I don't think you understand how not profound it is. Okay. We'll talk later.
All right. So our unit production manager, you can see him next time on his Disney Plus kids series. It's Tommy Turtle.
I like the setup. I thought it was funny. Okay. The setup makes it funny.
And this is our costume designer. I think this is probably what Casper asked you not to do to him. Megan Casper Lick.
Two for two. You got me on both. I genuinely laughed on both.
And Clinton just wants to go to bed.
Clinton's like, I'm done. We got one more episode, Patreon exclusive. So yeah, anyway, we'll be doing that. Guys, This is a great start to the series. Episode one, an absolute blast. The Goldfish Problem. There's no problems with this series for me. I am so invested just after one. Oscar Isaac, brilliant actor. Cannot wait. Episode two, we'll be back next Wednesday to review this movie, this TV show. So we hope you join us. Guys, if you want to support the show, patreon.com/Avengers Podcast. That's the reason why this show exists. Because of patrons like you, if you're a patron listener. So, yes, Emmy.
And I don't think we've announced this on the actual podcast yet, but if you go to AvengersPodcast.com/shop, you can see our new big mug.
Yes.
City Keurig.
Yeah, we got a big mug now. We had a mug, now we had a big mug. So yeah,
big mug.
So guys, patreon.com/Avengers Podcast, $1, $3, $5, or $10 tiers. $1 gets you a shout out on the show. $3 gets you a Discord link and a shout out. $5 gets you all that and two bonus episodes of the show. We have 11 movie reviews now on our Patreon, 11 movie reviews. So if you jump on the Patreon, pay $5, you get 11 bonus episodes right away of us reviewing exclusive content on the Patreon, and $10, you get unedited episodes. episodes, all of that, what you just heard, unedited episodes, and you get to watch a movie with us and hang out with us and talk with us. It's a lot of fun. So anyway, also guys, if you like the show, if you learned something from the show, we made you laugh, or you just like the commentary between the three of us, 5-star ratings are how we grow. It's how we get eyes and ears on the show. There's just no other way around it. We take a lot of pride in the show. We put a lot of hours into the show. We're just asking for 5 seconds of your time on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, leaving a 5-star review. It's the quickest way to show support. It bumps us up in those rankings, and it really gets us a lot of attention. So, guys, we really, really appreciate it. So that is how you can support the show in all three of those ways. And we'll be back again next week. So we hope you join us. We hope you enjoy the banter of episode 2. And Clinton hopefully will feel better at that time as well. So he was more excited for this show than anybody. I know he is ready to feel better. And we hope he gets to feeling better soon so we can review, 100%. we can review this show. So guys, we're heading on out of here. We'll be back next week. Emmy, Clinton, any final words before we head on out of here?
Clinton, buddy, this is for you. This is for you, man. This is for you. Moon
Knight! Thank you.
I think it broke the mic. He's coughing.